Well, it's a real pleasure to be back down here this morning, especially, of course, to be here with not only my wife, but also my daughter. So, and of course, it makes a nice change for me to come down here instead of Ivan coming up to Selsdon, which he helped out during our interregnum. And he actually taught us the last song that we sang there, Eternal Hallelujahs, at Selsdon. So I was really delighted to hear that this morning. So also my thanks to the worship team here for the sympathetic songs that you chose for this morning, only knowing the title and the particular passage that I was going to take. But this morning, before we get into that, I want us to complete the reading of John chapter 21. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to look at them, and we're going to read from verse 15 of John 21. By the way, don't worry if I start coughing. I had a cold in January, and it's left me with a cough, but it's not terminal, so I shall still be here at the end of the service. Okay. So John chapter 21 and from verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let them know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that wasn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This disciple is the one who testifies to these accounts and has recorded them here, and we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. And we thank the Lord for his word this morning. Now, John 21, and some Bibles do have this, the editors have inserted at the beginning of chapter 21, the word epilogue. That's an editorial thing because, as I'm sure you know, when the scriptures were written, they didn't have chapters and verses. It was all continuous text. It seems that, of course, the gospel might have ended at the end of chapter 20. But here we have this additional chapter that there have been many theories put forward as to what it's about. And I'm not going to go into those theories this morning, because I don't think it's pertinent to what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. But I want to see what lessons we can learn overall from John 21. And I'm sure there are many more than the Lord has shown to me. The actual timing that this incident here is uncertain when we compare Acts 1 with the Gospels. We're not sure when it was. But what we can be certain is that it happened between the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus has taken his disciples through 3 years of instruction. And here he is completing their training course. I wonder why so many higher education training courses are 3 years long. I wonder if there's any link there. But anyway, 3 years it took them. And I wonder how we would have felt in these circumstances. 3 years, travelling around the countryside with a charismatic teacher who was prone to upset the establishment. I'm sure if we put our minds to it, we could think of a few charismatic characters who have followings in our own country here, and who are prone to upset the establishment. And of course it makes headlines these days, and everything is taken out of context, and we get all this fake news and everything else. But here they were, they'd been following Jesus around. From their own perspective, they'd seen Jesus perform many miracles. And in fact, they'd even perform miracles themselves. Their hopes, their aspirations had been raised. But then, Jesus had started to get very morbid in what he had to say to them. He was talking about his death. They didn't see the point of it. He was still a young man. He had his life before him, didn't he? But no, Jesus was talking about what must happen to fulfill prophecy. And then for the disciples, the bottom falls out of their world. Jesus is arrested. He's put through a mock trial. He's sentenced. And he's put to death in the most horrible way. Has it all been in vain? Did they commit themselves to him for nothing? So, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And that's what I want us to think about this morning. There were lessons that the disciples had to learn. And some that we can learn as we study this passage. And I want us to apply it to all types of situations that we face, that we're going to face at some time or another in our lives. I don't know you, you don't know me. I don't know what circumstances you're going through or may go through. But I can be pretty sure that at some stage in all our lives, we will have to face that question, where do we go from here? When things don't come up to our expectations. When circumstances change dramatically or unexpectedly. When it seems as if there is no future. And I'm not going to mention that B word this morning. Where do we go from here? Well, the first thing I think the disciples had to learn. Don't go back. Don't go back. And I put the chicken and the egg up there, because when you think about it, the chicken can't go back to being an egg. The chicken can't go back. Familiar things are very comforting. And sometimes when things go wrong in our lives, all we want to do is curl up in that fetal position and hope everything will go away. We want to go back to the beginning where all was safe and warm. But we can't. Don't go back. Because if we try to go back to that beginning point, we might miss the very thing that will help us to go on. And here we have Peter and the other disciples, not sure what to do. They've been told to wait for Jesus. But they got a little fed up waiting. And so Peter says, I'm off fishing. Going back to his roots, isn't he? But they still weren't very happy. They'd gone out fishing overnight and they hadn't caught anything. I'm sure that many thoughts might have crossed their mind. Perhaps they'd lost their skills in the last 3 years. Perhaps they were doing it wrong. Instead of drawing on the experience of their 3 years with Jesus, they were going back to the days before he called them. Jesus had called them from fishing fish in order to fish for people. But they had gone back to fishing for fish. They needed an encounter with Jesus to put them right. He had to teach them another lesson. To remember who is in control. Who's in control of the situation that we find ourselves in? The disciples had got to that point of frustration and despair when they heard the voice of authority. Don't let's forget that these men, these fishermen and men of everyday working, and you know, Jesus had gathered together a pretty good cross section from the local society to be his main disciples. They were Jews. They were Jews. They already had a faith in God. It had been handed down by long tradition. And yet their faith had been reshaped by their encounter with Jesus. Now I understand that in preceding weeks you've been looking at some of the people who had encounters with Jesus. These men who'd been following him for 3 years had that encounter with Jesus, the Son of God. Not just any old Jesus, and a lot of people had been called Jesus because their parents had named them in an aspiration. God saves was the interpretation of that name Jesus. God saves. But this wasn't just any old Jesus, not someone with an aspiration. This wasn't Jesus the son of Joseph. He was Jesus Barabbas, Jesus, son of the Father. I wonder how often we think of that when we sing Abba Father. Jesus, son of the Father. And so here in the beginning of chapter 21, we actually have an almost identical incident as to that recorded in Luke 5. And it wasn't long before they realized it was Jesus who had given the command. But can't you imagine some of their thoughts? Who's this idiot who thinks he knows better than us how to fish? He's standing on the shore telling us to do what to do. We're professionals. We don't need advice from a layman. Nonetheless, in the despair, the early morning sunlight, it's glistening on the water. Just perhaps this person standing on the shore might have been able to see some fish movement that they couldn't see when they were on top of them. So they did as they were told. They threw their nets. And what a surprise. With the dawning of the day comes the dawning of realization. And it's John who exclaims, "It's the Lord! It's the Lord!" Well, I'm sure that memories of that previous incident must have come flooding back to them. There was more than a flutter of excitement in the boat. Simon Peter couldn't contain himself. He was out of the boat. He was in the water, making for shore. Now, of course, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had appeared to them. But here he was again. He was in control of this situation. And he proves it to the disciples. They needed to remember who was in control of what was going to happen. But the encounter didn't end there. There was more to chapter 21 for us. Because obedience was going to be the key for them. Obedience. In order to be successful in their fishing, the disciples had to be obedient to the command of Jesus as to where they fished. The same rule was to apply when they went fishing for people with the good news. Peter was asked three times by the Lord, "Do you love me?" And each time he was given a command. In all respects, it's the same question and command right the way through this discourse. And then at the end of what we have as verse 19, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." It was the same command that Jesus had given to Peter when he first called him 3 years earlier. If Peter and the other disciples present wanted success in the kingdom of God, obedience was the key. It's a theme that comes right through the teaching of Jesus. And in fact, if we go right back into the Old Testament as well, we see that you could almost put a mantra over that teaching, the Lord's teaching to us, of obey and be blessed. Obey and be blessed. But Jesus says, if you love me, if you love me, obey. If we go back into John, we have this similar theme coming through. Obey if you love me. Obey my commands. Obey my teaching. Follow me. Follow me. It may be that you've already put these pieces of the jigsaw together to fit your present circumstances. But let's just have a little look, shall we? Where do we go from here? You see, whatever's going on in our lives at the present, whatever circumstances are forcing us to ask the question, where do we go from here? Or where do I go from here? The first thing, don't go back. Don't go back. Take stock of the situation. Remember that you have had an encounter with the living God, the living Lord Jesus. He's your Saviour. He's your Lord. Look to what he's taught you before, the way he's led you before, for your answer to the way ahead. Remember who's in control. If you've committed your life to Christ, remember that it's Jesus who is in control. I once heard someone say that if you utter the phrase, "No, Lord," it's an oxymoron. I thought of that when our brother was talking this morning about the person who the Lord called to South America. If he is Lord, you can't say no to him. It's got to be yes, Lord. There might be a storm around you, but he is the one who's able to still the storm. He had shown the disciples that. They needed to be reminded of it. Many years ago, I went to hear quite a well-known preacher at the time. Some of you may have heard of him, a guy called Canon Michael Green, very charismatic preacher. And he was talking about God is able. God is able. And he went through a number of scriptures in the Old and New Testament where that phrase is used. And in particular, I remember him talking about the Hebrew slaves, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and being thrown into the fiery furnace. And they saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to deliver us." But they had to go into that furnace, which had been heated 10 times hotter and even killed the guards outside, before they were delivered out of it. And sometimes we have to go into circumstances before the Lord delivers us out of them. I remember Michael Green saying to us that if someone asks us how we are, we should never say, "All right under the circumstances," but only "All right in the circumstances." Because in the circumstances, our Lord is there with us. He is in control. He is able to enter and take control of any situation. He just wants us to hand it over to him. Remember that he will be in control if we let him. Obedience is the key. Jesus was obedient to his Father's will. He went all the way. And if we want to please him, we too must be obedient. It's no use paying lip service to obedience. Being obedient when it suits us and things are going well. It must be in all circumstances. We must commit ourselves to total obedience. I remember Billy Graham many years ago talking about complete committal without reservation. That's what it means. You know, James got it right when he said, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog or a mist. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that." We need to bring the Lord into the equation. Otherwise, we end up adding 2 and 2 and making 4. No, we make 5, don't we? We get it wrong if we leave the Lord out of the equation. So we need to bring him into the equation. And as with Peter, the bottom line was, how much do we love the Lord? I'm sure some of you have seen that that program excuse me, on the television with Phil and Kirsty, Love It or List It. Yeah. And that crossed my mind as I was preparing for today, that I thought, really, do we just like him or do we just love him? Do we just like Jesus as a person, as an idealist, as a teacher, or do we love him? What's our relationship with him? So, for us, for each of you, for me, is it rough out there at the moment? Do you feel as if everything's gone wrong or is about to go wrong? Do you feel as if people have deserted you? Well, don't compare your journey to someone else's. You know, we're all unique. Yeah, when each one of us were made, God broke the mold. We're all different. We're unique. There is no one else like you. There's a reasonably modern song that starts off, doesn't it? No one is like you. There is no one like Jesus, but there's no one like us. And we each have our individual journeys. And yet, each of us is unique to God. Because he made us, and he loves us, and he sent Jesus to die for us. So, as we come to a conclusion, stop. Whatever situation we're in, stop. Think about what's going on. Look back, but don't go back. Look around at what's happening, and then go forward. I found this little quote from Albert Einstein. We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. We have come on a journey. We now have a thinking that's come from the Lord himself. Let's put that to good use. Let's use the wisdom he's given us. And if we feel we're still lacking, then let's take James's words again to ask for wisdom, because the Lord's going to give us liberally, plentifully, when we need it. Where do we go from here? We go forward with the Lord. We go forward in confidence. And we go forward in the circumstances. Whatever's going on around us or within us, in those circumstances, we still have the Lord with us to take us through. Let's just close our eyes and reflect for a moment. The end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples and tells us that he is with us to the very end of the age. The Father says to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong, of a good courage. Jesus says, if we love him and obey his commands, he will ask the Father and send the Spirit to us. The one who comes alongside to comfort us, to support us, to help us with what we need. Jesus gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Peace that will keep our hearts and our minds in those circumstances. So let's rest and relax in Him and see exactly for each one of us where we are going to go from this moment on. Amen.